Hi, welcome to a first-of-its-kind episode here on Marketer for Hire. If you're a regular, you know that I am usually interviewing a marketing specialist or teaching you from my own experience, but in today's episode, I am trying something new. I'm going live with a laser coaching session. Today, my guest is Dr. Tanmeet Sethi. She's a clinical associate professor at the University of Washington. She's an author, and she is a TEDx speaker. Not only that, but she recently left her very established integrative family physician practice after 25 years to become an entrepreneur. But even with all of her experience and all of this visibility, building a business isn't easy. If you've ever struggled to identify your ideal client or you've wondered why people seem to be such big fans of your work but aren't buying, I think that you'll relate to Dr. CT's questions and probably have some aha moments of your own as I help her to tease out the right messages for her clients and get clear on what to say on her homepage to attract the right people. I'd love to hear what you think about this episode format. Send me a DM over on Instagram at sunny.logsden and let me know what you think. Hi, welcome to Marketer for Hire. I'm your host, Sunny Logsden, and I understand that not all business owners have a marketing background. That's why I'm here, to provide tips and advice on how to build the right team to unlock your business's full potential without wasting precious time and money. Each week, we'll break down complex marketing concepts into easy-to-understand pieces so that you can delegate confidently. Whether you're a business owner with a marketer on your team or you're just beginning the journey of hiring a marketer, I'm passionate about helping you maximize success. So if you're looking for ways to get the most out of your marketing budget, reduce frustration from lack of results, and provide clear, strategic marketing direction to your team, this show is for you. Hi, Tanmeet. It is so good to have you here today, and I am excited to follow up on a conversation that we actually started yesterday, the day before recording this. We were connected by a mutual friend, and Tanmeet has a book that she has published within the last 6 months. She has started her own practice, which we're going to talk about within the last 6 months. She also has a TEDx talk and has written abundantly over the past several years. And she is in the process of growing her client base for this new direction. And so she has graciously agreed to do some coaching here on the podcast. And so we are going to be talking today about getting clear on her ideal clients and her offers so that she can use all of these beautiful things that she has created to feed into her business and to grow her revenue so that she can have the work-life balance that she needs. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks, Sunny. I'm really excited to do this.
I am too. So tell me a little bit about what you do and why you decided to make the switch to being an entrepreneur from traditional medical practice.
Yeah. All right. So for the last 25 years, I've been an integrative family physician, which means I have done primary care as well as integrative medicine, which for any listener who doesn't know is the blending of the best of East and West nutrition, mind-body medicine, and Western medicine. And I've done all that in a traditional academic setting where I teach resident physicians and I have a clinic practice and do a lot of teaching around the country. And now I have shifted after 25 years, sounds like so long. I've shifted to do my own thing. And that's a little scary. It's been scary. And it came really from an intuitive feeling that there was something else I was supposed to do. And also that I needed a little more control, a little more flexibility and control in my life. I have a child with a very serious chronic condition that is also life-ending. And so the care is getting more and more, requires more and more of my time. And it's not so much it is my time, but it's also just that flexibility of being available for him when he needs me. So that, along with this intuitive feeling, this voice in my head, and that I was really branching out into my new book and feeling like there was a little more. I also, in the last few years, have gotten certified in psychedelic medicine. And so you don't know this, but I do research at the university. I'm a primary researcher on psilocybin and psychedelics. And, you know, it's become an expertise of mine. And it isn't so, not even so, it isn't at all really supported in the traditional medical setting yet. And so I felt like if I really wanted to do what I believed was what I wanted to pursue, then I would have to go out on my own eventually. And so here I am doing integrative and psychedelic medicine and writing and speaking.
Yeah, it sounds like all the stars were in alignment for you to take this big step in your life. And so as you think about developing your business, you know, we as entrepreneurs sometimes think we know what we want in business, and then it evolves in a way that we could have never imagined, which I think is one of the really, really beautiful things about entrepreneurship. So when you think about your business and where you want it to go, what does your dream business look like? What are you doing? How are you spending your time? And what does your clientele look like?
In terms of my writing, I would love to write more books and cultivate my Substack publication to be a source of revenue for me, a consistent source. I'd like to speak a lot more and have that be a good source of revenue because I do that well. And I know that that can be a really gratifying part of my business. But I don't want to leave my clinical work at all. The thing that I want to do is shift it from one-on-one to group work. And so I have been doing group work for the last 20 years globally, actually. You also don't know this. I've been doing a lot of trauma work globally in small groups. And it's a skill I have that's very useful and also very satisfying for me. And to do psychedelic work in groups is quite powerful. And so my hope would be to shift from one-on-one work and unless, you know, maybe just the clients here and there, but to really shift to group work and to do those groups in a way that's sustainable for me so I don't burn out. And that would mean having my writing and speaking really be consistent, robust sources of income.
Mm-hmm. So the writing and the speaking would be robust sources of income. And do you also want those to be driving people to your group work?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing that really ties all my work together, I think, is that really between my book, my writing, my speaking, and my clinical work, what I'm really doing is trying to catalyze the deepest joy and meaning possible for people in their lives. Mm. And so, you know, my book is called Joy is My Justice. My talks are really centered around these really deeply human ways that we can live our life better through both what the science shows us and what lived experience can tell us. And psychedelics are a real catalyst for that kind of insight, self-awareness, and how to get more joy and meaning in our lives. And that's really what I've been doing my whole career with my integrative work, is really looking at what the root causes of people's symptoms or complaints are, looking at whether we're sleeping well, what our relationships are like, what are we eating, what are we optimizing, and what do we need to let go of. And so it really all centers around this finding deeper joy and meaning. And so, yeah, I really want my writing and speaking to support my clinical work, not to be, they're not at all separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say right now, and I know you gave me a little bit of this yesterday when we spoke, but what would you say is maybe your number one priority here over the next 6 months?
Oh, gosh. Sunny, that's a hard question. I feel like for the last 6 months, I have put a lot of time into supporting my book, getting a massive amount of media and exposure, and that has been really gratifying and also very helpful. I think what I would like to do is balance that now more with also, I really haven't talked about my group work at all, or you know, what the my clinical work that I've gotten so far is all word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful, but I'm thinking I'm probably not optimizing that if I'm not talking about it as much. So I'm trying to get more into my group and speaking work and balance that with my book push.
Yeah, you're doing all of these different things. And if we could get all of the momentum, the inertia moving in one direction to help you bring in revenue and for people to really understand how you can help them, it sounds like that would do a lot for your business.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels like when we're talking about it out loud now that what I really would like to do is get momentum to the group so that we can get that going. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that work.
Yes. Well, and you have a lot of great momentum. I mean, you've gotten press that a lot of people only dream about. You have been a TEDx speaker. You are a TEDx speaker, which is absolutely a huge accomplishment. And then an author. And so you have all the pieces and parts there for an amazing marketing strategy. And it's just a matter of figuring out how they're all going to work together. And so as we think about that, who would you say is your ideal client, as we call them in marketing, for your groups? Who is it that you want to serve in your groups?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I need help with this. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. For anyone who doesn't know, what a family doc does is delivers babies and takes care of them till they're older. You know, I take care of the whole family. I take care of people in hospice. This has been my last 25 years, has been taking care of everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's been really challenging for me to say, this is who, you know, my ideal client, so to speak, is. I don't know that I have, you know, really hone that in. But what I think is that people, maybe one way to think about it is that people come to me because they've lost a sense of meaning, purpose, or connection to their life or the world around them. And in whether that means their own personal relationships or their work in the world or what their sense of belonging is. And for some of them, it is this existential questioning alone. And for some, that existential questioning has also caused pretty significant anxiety or depression or sadness. And so there's sort of this range of existential questioning to the grief that it causes. I think that's one way to start talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because if you don't serve a certain demographic, then it's looking at the psychographics, like what is it that they are going through? What is it that they are feeling right now that draws them to you? And usually you can find the commonalities in whatever their needs are at the time. And so coming to you because they've lost a sense of meaning, you know, maybe some ways that they can identify that is they're feeling anxiety, they're feeling depression. And so helping people that you serve identify that they are someone that you are able to help, right? Helping them identify that you can help them. And so a lot of the ways that, or one of the ways that we do that is by just reflecting back to them. Like when your clients come in, listening to what's called voice of customer, listening to what they are telling you that they are facing and how they're feeling. And then on the, you know, homepage of your website, you really want to reflect that back to them and let them know that you have a solution. And right now, when I look at your website, you have a lot of different directions that people can go. You know, it talks about you are the heart of your healing. And people might read this top part of your homepage and say, I'm not sure exactly what that means or how she can help me. And sometimes we have to be really obvious with our messaging. And again, one of the ways to do that is by just reflecting back to them what they're feeling and then letting them know how you can help them solve the problem. So you mentioned depression, you mentioned anxiety, you mentioned maybe a feeling of searching. Maybe they are searching for meaning. What are some other identifiers that you hear come up again and again?
Let me try to think how specifically people talk about it, because what they're talking about a lot is a sense of loss of connection and belonging. So they don't feel like, you know, life is not as vibrant as it used to be, or it doesn't feel like what they're doing with their life is exciting to them or feels like it's as worth getting up every day for. Mm-hmm. It's become mundane or kind of boring's not the right word, but kind of old hat kind of thing. those are the people. But then there are some people who really have had clinical sort of pictures of fear, anxiety, causing insomnia, causing panic, causing a sort of overwhelming sense of dread in their life. And then there's those. So I don't know where you want me to take that, but because it depends where people are in that clinical picture.
Mm-hmm. That is a great point. And I think we can bookmark this. And what we're talking about here as we are talking about two different ideal clients, right? Maybe two different personas here. And one person is just feeling a sense of loss of life, if you will. And then the other person is really experiencing more clinical symptoms. Is there some overlap there that you might be able to speak to both of these people and they would both resonate with the words that you're saying?
Yeah. And I'm realizing I'm leaving a big piece out here. I'm glad you're helping me think this out, which is burnout in their work. So I'm, for instance, doing a group this month for docs who are burnt out in their work. But my hope is to extend that to people in tech and other kind of high performing professionals who really are feeling a sense of loss of meaning and connection from the work they do. So that's one piece. I think it's the same thing, but it might be a place for me to really hone in on some expertise. So I'm not sure if that's helpful.
Yes, it's very helpful. And so is there, would you say that these are maybe three different personas?
Yeah. I mean, I think the existential, the people who come in with that sort of loss of meaning and connection, I feel like it's the same person. It's just that some of them feel that in their work and some feel it at home as a parent or a spouse or as a single person, sort of loss of feeling of where they fit in.
Okay, that makes sense. So there's, it originates from different places for these two different people. So then what is some language that you might be able to use that would appeal to all of these personas?
I mean, burnout feels like one kind of language because people resonate with that term. I think people can feel burnt out in their work or at home in their life. Stagnant, stuck, those are terms that people use, kind of not able to feel as much joy or excitement for their life. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that those terms like burnout, stagnant and stuck, not feeling joy or excitement, does that resonate with a person who is feeling the clinical symptoms?
Yes. And I think that theirs go even deeper, like they're not able to function. And so it depends where they are on the continuum. But sometimes those people who have clinical syndromes actually aren't able to even function. So they're not able to even move forward, whereas some of the other people are kind of pushing through, but feeling some of that.
So one of the ways that I like to think about messaging is that you have your broad brand position first. And so, you know, your broad brand, and we're not going to nail this on this call, but it's going to get us thinking in the right direction, is that you help people to, you know, find joy and get their life back, which is what you're talking about here. And you do that through your work with psychedelics and through these groups. And then you have your key messages that apply to your whole brand. And so that might be about why you do this, how you do this, you know, the science behind why it works to maybe immediately confront some of the objections that you might hear from people or just the curiosity because you're in a very new field. And so your some of your key messages, you want to be informing them about what it is that you do. And then we go down to our secondary messages, and that's where we can get a little bit more specific with each one of your buyer personas and really speaking specifically to what they're going through and how they're going through it. And on your website, generally, you want to start with the big brand message that is going to resonate with everyone. And even then, you want to be using your voice of customer and you want to be using, you know, terms that they understand. And when you're using voice of customer, you will be using terms that they understand. But I would challenge you as you are going into thinking about your messaging is when you talk about, you know, catalyzing the deepest joy and meaning of life, ask yourself and maybe play around with this a little bit. Does that resonate with the people I'm speaking to? Do they know immediately what I mean by catalyzing deepest joy and meaning in life? And if they don't, then break that down. So if I were just to ask you that question without any official market research, what would you say? Do you think that that's a term, you know, catalyzing joy is something that resonates with them?
I mean, it seems like it from the conversations I've had with people mm-hmm. from my book for the last 6 months. So I think so.
Okay, great. And when they come to you and they maybe have read your book, they have maybe a little bit of a deeper understanding of what you mean by this idea. Is that right? I've not read your book, although I told you it looks amazing and I want to. And I wonder if they maybe already know because they've spent so much time with you in the pages of the book, they know what that means.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then it would be kind of, how do you speak to people before they've read it?
Right. How do you speak to people? How do you paint the picture for them of what it would look like to catalyze joy and meaning? And so if you were to paint a picture of what it would look like on the other side of what they're going through, what words would you use for that?
For catalyzing joy?
And the feeling, how do they feel? Feeling,
yeah, they feel more alive. Mm-hmm. They feel more connected. They feel more like they feel a wider range of emotions. Mm. So feel everything from the challenging emotions to the really wonderful ones. Mm-hmm. But they feel more of them. So they're not stuck in one picture of that. They feel a sense of purpose. So they feel like they know why they're here on this earth and what they want to do and why it feels good to do that. They feel like a better parent, a better spouse. They feel like a more fulfilled person, more fulfilled parent, right? A lot of my patients are parents, but not all of them. And they feel like they have more calm and ease in their bodies. They just feel lighter, more expansive. Mm.
If you're ready to become a content repurposing machine with quality content at your fingertips every time you need it, what are you waiting for? Let's work together. Head to sunny-logsdon.com and sign up for my one-to-one Elevate 360 program, where you can think of me as your CMO for 6 months as we tackle your marketing strategy, streamlining and systematizing all of your processes, including your content strategy, so that your marketing runs flawlessly as your business grows. Or if you want to start by tackling your content catalog, book a marketing immersion where we'll get laser focused on one piece of your marketing strategy during a one-day engagement. Head over to sunny-logsdon.com or head to the show notes and click on the link. And let's get started. So what I love about your description here is that you are painting this picture for people who don't feel that right now in their lives. And when they can envision themselves feeling alive and connected and having that wider range of emotions instead of just feeling flat or sad or disconnected, they want to know how to get there. And you become that bridge to take them from where they are right now to where they want to be, where they want to get to in life. And so as we think about that bridge, tell me the steps of that bridge. Tell me what it looks like on that bridge to get across. And this is where we really get to your offers. And we want to be able to communicate in a concrete way. This is how they can engage with you to begin feeling this way.
Yeah. Okay. One thing is to have more self-awareness of what they need. And so that would mean moving their bodies more, connecting to breath work, and learning different practices like gratitude or self-compassion. So learning those in a deeper way. The psychedelic use is a really potent catalyst for getting over that bridge because it allows you to have more insight and self-awareness to what you actually need, because sometimes that's really hard to even understand. And it also allows us to unlock whatever sort of traumatic or painful experiences that we haven't processed in our life might be clouding what we need to see or feel. So that's sort of how the psychedelics come into play.
Got it. And so with this would probably require some education.
Yeah.
They need to understand how, you know, self-awareness and gratitude and unlocking painful experiences, how is that going to impact them? How is it going to get them from where they are to where they want to be? Because that allows them to then make logical sense of it, especially because what you do has, it's not maybe as tangible. Yeah. Is, you know, maybe even what I do. Here's a website or here's a marketing yeah. strategy, right?
Yeah.
It's something that people really have to have a level of belief in. And my guess is that when, by the time people get to your website, they've heard about you, they have some level of know. If you think about the know, like trust funnel, they've heard about you, they know you, or maybe they were Googling around because of their symptoms. And then they land on your website. And either way, there's probably some questions that they need you to answer. And so as we think about that, what are some of the questions that you get often from people who are contacting you to work with you or considering working with you?
Yeah, they want to know what kinds of things psychedelics can help with. Is it safe is the biggest question I get. So is this safe? I feel a little scared. Mm-hmm. What's a journey like? What does it feel like? And what might I expect to feel after one? Those are kind of the biggest questions.
Okay. And so as you think about being findable for the people who need you, who are looking for you as a solution, you do a ton of writing and you have so much great writing. And I like to think of it as there is your passion writing, and then there is your educational and informational writing. And so some of this is really going to fall under educating people what this is, how it works, answering these questions. And what's great about that is when you have the words on your website, and of course, this isn't an SEO episode, but they can't just be anywhere on your website. They need to be in the headlines. They need to be in the right places. But when they're searchable, then people are typing in their own questions, right? And so they might be typing in, you know, is psychedelic treatment safe?
Yeah.
And so then your answer to that question pops up with your post, your blog post, or your article, whatever that is. And you're answering their question, which walks them towards you as the solution provider. And even these other things, as we talk about looking at what they're feeling now versus what they want to be on the other side of this, using the words that they're going to be typing in or the solutions that they're looking for in what you're writing is going to help you to be found. And then once they get there, they easily understand what it is you're telling them. And so the language, that's one of the reasons in marketing that language and customer voice of customer is so important, because it really helps them to understand what you're telling them, and it helps them to find you just from a basic SEO perspective. When it comes to your offers, how do you define your offers for people? Can they come sign up on a website, or do they need to talk to you? What does that process look like?
No, they can book it right off my website. So I offer the services and I'm transparent about pricing on there, and then they can make an appointment. Or I also offer a 15-minute kind of exploration call for, you know, complimentary kind of call, just if they have some questions they want to ask before they book.
Sure, that makes sense. And what about testimonials? Which, you know, anytime we get into the medical field, I work with several providers, testimonials are tricky because it's a very private space. And so what has been your experience to date with getting testimonials from people that you've worked with, or do you have any of those on your website?
Yeah. So I have testimonials for speaking, but not for clinical work. It feels weird to me. But, you know, maybe it's hard after being a physician for so long to really even think of having that kind of testimonial on my website, because it feels like I'm exposing someone. But yeah, it's just not something I've thought of doing yet. I know people have asked me, but I'm just not sure I can do it yet. But I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I understand that. And again, coming from a medical background, it makes complete sense, because that is not best practices by any stretch in any sort of medical role. And I wonder if we reframed it a little bit and didn't really think of it as a testimonial, but maybe a success story, or gave your clients a way for them to share where they are now. It doesn't have to be your typical testimonial or your typical case study where it's like, here's where I was in this dark place. It could just be the here and now of how they're feeling, because what's great about that is it would allow your potential clients to imagine what it would be like to be like that person. And again, because it is something that is relatively new and there's not as much information out there as there is for, say, a surgery or something that a lot of information has been published on, it might be a really helpful way to give your, I hate to call them prospects, but patients or clients, a way to understand what this is and what it looks like, which in the end is really helping you help them. And I know that at the end of the day, your goal is to help people to find joy in their life and to get out of these darker places. And so at the end of the day, these stories help other people. And that's the way that I really do love to think about testimonials. And again, being very cautious about any sort of privacy and being very delicate, even in the story and the way that it's told. And if it's told in an uplifting way, it can be very positive rather than feeling a little bit icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it.
And then as we think about really your sales funnel, you have worked so hard to have all of these different ways that people can find you. And so it feels like what we need to do is just think about how are you, you know, bringing them in. And so when it comes to, I know that you have your Substack. When people sign up for your email, you're emailing them pretty frequently. They get to know you. Tell me about where it goes from there. So they're on your email list or they've joined your Substack. And then what's the next step for working with you?
Yeah, when they sign up, they get a series of sort of get to know me emails, and they get signed up to my Substack and they get weekly emails. And then how they work, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What's your next step? Right now, I'm trying a ketamine workshop that I offer to kind of offer a kind of entry point for people. Like maybe you don't know anything about it and you want to learn more about it. So I'm teaching a workshop once a month till the end of the year and offering that to people to sign up for. So that's kind of the beginning of the offers right now of what your next step would be.
Okay, got it.
Because it feels like a big leap to just sign up.
It does. It does, especially for something that is this big and goes this deep. I wonder if there is an opportunity for a, what I call an LCO, low commitment offer, that's even between hearing about you and signing up for this workshop. I wonder, is there some sort of a video that they could that you could create that they could download, or even just a checklist to help them self-identify that, yes, actually, this is something that I could use. And then once they download that, you know, maybe they receive something, or maybe it's in the same download, that again is kind of an educational piece. Or it could say, here's the 3 blog posts for you to go read once you've self-identified that you're a candidate for the type of work I do. What are your thoughts on that?
You mean as a free offering?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. I haven't thought about it yet.
Yeah, another lead magnet that works really well are quizzes. I really think you could do this with a checklist, but what you don't get on the checklist is you don't get any of the information that will allow you to segment your audience and target your audience. Whereas with a quiz, if someone takes your quiz, you get that information. And so you would know that, you know, maybe Tammy over here is dealing with the loss of a family member. And this other person over here is just in, you know, a middle stage of life where they're no longer finding joy in their work and they're overloaded. And you could segment your list in a way that you actually are able to deliver them the content that they need based on what they're going through, which ultimately will help you to present them with the right offers. Like you said, that you have this group course for doctors that are feeling overwhelmed. And then if you are doing something for people who have gone through traumatic experiences, it would just help you to know who to serve this offer up to in your audience.
Yeah, I have a quiz, but it's about joy, not about psychedelics right now.
Okay, gotcha. But does the joy quiz provide the type of information that you need to segment your list in a way that helps you with your sales and marketing?
I mean, it segments people on based on what they need more information on, meaning like gratitude or movement or breath mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. self-compassion. So it helps me in that way, mm-hmm. but not for the psychedelics.
That's interesting. Yeah. So it could be that you could go add a question or two in there, and it doesn't have to be specific to any one type of treatment, but it might be able to just give you that next level of information so that that could be one of the options that the quiz taker might be able to take if they identify in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So as we think through this, are there any other big questions that you want to throw out while we're on the phone here?
No, I'm just thinking over everything. No.
Okay. So as I think through this, I feel like the primary things that we have identified is getting clear on these three different ideal client types and these three customer avatars, which I kind of use those words interchangeably, and thinking through the adjectives that describe the way that they're feeling, which you've done a great job of jotting some of these, or I've jotted them down as you've spoken them. So I will send them your way. But really incorporating these words into your copy that you have on your website, and then looking at how you're bringing them from here's how I feel, here's how I want to feel, and then here's the offers that bridge that gap. And making sure that you have offers that walk them all the way across that bridge. And of course, there's different bridges for different client types, right? If you might have a person come through your funnel who isn't right for treatment A, but maybe they're right for this other type of group that mm-hmm. you're doing. And so they would probably go down a different path. And of course, those offers would get more specific further down the sales funnel. But I believe that you are just on such a fantastic trajectory as far as all the things that you're offering out there, that when people come to your website, when they hear you speak, when they hear you on a podcast, when somebody recommends your book, you want them to come to your website and immediately know how they can work with you and how you can help them. And that's really the goal with getting specific and narrowing down those messages for your business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling about all these ideas swirling in your head?
Well, I feel like I need to re-listen to this so I can remember everything.
Isn't that the great part about doing these is that they're recorded? And so you actually can listen to it and go back and choose the pieces that really resonate with you and put it into your marketing strategy and into your materials, and really thinking about everything that you're doing, how it works together to bring people into your world, educate them about what you do, who you are, why they would want to work with you, and then ultimately showing them how they can cross that bridge and get to where they want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, Danmi, thank you so much for putting yourself out there, for being on this podcast, and for just talking about all the things that you have going on in your business. I'm so excited for you. And it sounds like you're just in a great place to continue growing and go this new direction in your life and in your career.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really just wanted so badly to help so many people. So I just really want to understand how to best do that. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Marketer for Hire podcast. I hope you've gained valuable insights to help you delegate marketing so that you can confidently get out of the details. If you enjoyed the show, will you do me a favor? Will you hit the follow button and leave a review and a rating? And if you've heard something that you think will help another business owner, be sure to send them a link to the episode. I'd sure appreciate it. And most importantly, before you go, I just want to say that I know your time is so valuable as a business owner, and I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me today. Thank you, friends, and I'll see you next time.